Welcome to this episode and launch of a new series of podcasts around regulatory reform. Most of you know that we are in the midst of regulatory reform and things are heating up. In today's episode of the CRA podcast, I switch gears and share a podcast episode I recently recorded with Michael DeLucchi of Elevate Talks. Enjoy the short interview and then check the show notes below to learn more about the innovative work of Elevate for today's community bankers and the regulatory reform concept shared in this episode. Enjoy.
Welcome. You're listening to Elevate Talks, a show designed to support the education and leadership goals of today's bankers. I'm your host, Michael DeLucchi, and it's my pleasure to join you on your professional and personal journey to the top. Hello, everyone. Today's guest is Linda Izuka, founder of CRA Today. Linda will be discussing the imminent CRA reform coming our way. The current proposed rulemaking for the OCC and FDIC regulated banks may surprise a lot of you. The $500 million asset threshold changes everything, and a deadline for comments and to advocate is March 9th. Linda's here to help us make sense of it all and give us some insights on what might be coming our way. But first, let's learn a little bit more about Linda. Linda has over 25 years of community development experience with an emphasis in CRA, compliance, training, community development lending, and CDFI initiatives. Linda works with financial institutions to provide comprehensive CRA training, up-to-date resources, and proven strategies. She helps banks to remain compliant and to provide a positive and supportive environment for both employees and community partners. Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Great to have you. Great to have you. Well, tell me a little bit more about how you got started with this and your journey and a little bit more about CRA Today.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I have built my career around community development. I am very passionate about community and economic development with a reinvestment lens. I work to create equity and inclusion for disadvantaged people and communities. I do this work with community banks through their CRA programs and non-traditional bankers like CDFIs to leverage capital for a greater good. I've recently launched CRA Today to leverage my years of CRA experience to support community banks through online, on-demand training and consulting services. I'm trying to innovate the way we refine our CRA programs to move from a set compliance mindset and approach to a more nimble and community development mentality with the intent to make a difference in our local neighborhoods. So I worked for 14 years at a large bank where I say I grew up professionally. And for the past 13 years, I've been working with large banks, community banks, nonprofits, and CDFIs. This is really my life's work, and I'm pleased to share the good word with anyone who will listen.
That's great. That's great, Linda. I love hearing someone passionate about what they're doing, and sounds like CRA Today is definitely something you're passionate about. So we're thrilled to have you as part of this today. Well, let's get to it. So I understand that CRA regulatory reform is underway. Tell me where we are in this process and what we can expect next from the regulators.
Well, it has certainly been interesting, and there's so much more to come. Modernizing this 40-year-old regulation has caused great market confusion, political dissension, community outrage even, and divergent regulatory paths. It could possibly be a binge-worthy TV series, I swear. Now, remember, the CRA was enacted in 1977. Now, that is when ATMs were just picking up speed. The first mobile phone call was actually made prior to the enactment of CRA in 1973. And not until 1983 was the first commercial mobile phone sold for just under a mere $4,000.
Wow.
You remember those shoe-like heavy doorstops people, you know, were walking on the street with?
I do.
It was so interesting to see and to witness that change. Well, that was the environment when CRA was enacted. Things were very, very different. So much has changed in the banking industry, including, of course, alternative delivery channels for financial institutions to deliver their services. So it's time to reform our beloved CRA. What your listeners really need to know, and many of them already do know, is that the OCC and the FDIC are leading reform and will act alone with the FRB yet to disclose their path. The result may be unfortunate, as what will likely result is a bifurcated path to CRA compliance, which breaks our over 40-year streak of interagency and regulatory congruence. So to refocus on things we can control, we all have to wrap our arms around the OCC and the FDIC's proposed rulemaking. March 9th, as you said, is the deadline for comment. I want to emphasize that even though this regulatory change is imminent, the core definitions and concepts of CRA will remain the same.
Okay. Well, in summary, what is the intent of the proposed OCC and FDIC rules?
Well, there's many ways to delineate the intent, but I think the easiest way to synthesize the proposed rules is to summarize it in four major points of interest. First, the regulators want to clarify and expand what qualifies as community development activities. Community development impact and activities can be subjective. They are attempting to reduce that uncertainty. Second, they want to expand where CRA activities count. They're seeking to refine the concept of assessment areas to respond to the market shifts to online banking while still honoring the impact that brick and mortar branches maintain. So they are considering deposit-based assessment areas and facility-based assessment areas. Third, the regulators are trying to define objective methods to measure CRA activities. They are considering metrics and ratios to determine CRA performance thresholds. This is where a lot of market confusion, feedback, and misunderstanding is swirling in the industry and throughout the political circles. Fourth, they are interested in revising CRA data collection and reporting provisions, changing the way banks collect, maintain, and report their CRA activities.
Gotcha. So that's quite a few areas that they're changing on there, and some of those have been in place for quite a while there. You mentioned community feedback. What is the most concerning to the industry about that?
Oh, my God. I can go on and on here. There is so much swirling about, but I think the most important macro points are these. The regulators are trying to find more efficient ways to evaluate performance, and in an effort to do so, to reduce the governmental inefficiencies associated with creating these subjective and narrative-dense performance evaluations that exist today. Some larger banks' performance evaluations are so complex that the mere publishing of that PE often goes beyond a year. Many banks find the ratio approach limiting, and community advocates are enraged. They're enraged with the premise that a community impact can be boiled down to a finite ratio. As many of us know, there's an art to community development work with many inputs, partnerships, collaborations, and resources. They feel that a mere ratio discounts the real work in disadvantaged communities. Now, I'm sure there is a happy medium somewhere, but I worry that, you know, given the tight turnaround and the regulatory timeline that exists, that there won't be an opportunity for stakeholders to reconvene to co-develop a meaningful solution.
When I was in banking and when I was in charge of doing CRA at one of the banks I was at, I always wondered, you know, you always mark down how much training you do in the community and community outreach and a different non-for-profits and thing that you volunteer in different areas and different groups. I always wondered how much that actually played a part in your actual CRA rating. Any insight on whether it did and whether it'll still exist or any changes on that front with the new regulations at all?
If you mean community development service and some of your outreach and collaborative work, I'm worried that the way that the proposed rulemaking is stated now, that it will be really synthesized down to a ratio. So you really won't get credit for that work on a, you know, in the same way that you might now in the status quo. But, you know, there it's all about, well, what are your outputs, right? What is the impact based on dollars? So through, right. You know, the qualified activities. So in my opinion, it's going to be less clear than more clear. Quite frankly, from my vantage point, CRA sure is a federal regulation that we all have to comply with. But once we move past that baseline compliance, that's where all the true community development impact happens. It's through those collaborations. It's through reinvesting in your neighborhoods that you work within. That's the great work. The mission is to move every bank efficiently through their, you know, compliance hurdles so that they can move into the communities to do the work that you defined and you described earlier.
Right. That makes sense. And that's really the mission of the community bank anyway. We were out there doing some of those things, and we just wanted to, you know, if you had to do the CRA, to make sure you get some credit for it as well, if you had to go through the process. But you're going to do those things anyway, whether it's part of a regulation or not. So,
right. Exactly.
So what's keeping you up at night regarding the proposed rulemaking?
Oh, my goodness. the more I learn about these proposed regulations, the less I sleep. I hope, although it's not likely, that the OCC and the FDIC would actually take back, which, by the way, has over 2,700 comments so far.
Wow.
And reissue its refined concepts for another round of proposed rulemaking. This is how they approached the first round of reform, where the proposed regs garnered over 6,700 comments in December of 1993, and then for a second round, garnered another 7,200 comments before the interagency response, that's all of the regulators together, published the final rule in May of 1995. So it was more of an iterative process, and that I'm not sure if this current administration is interested in slowing down so that we can ensure more feedback. So much is at stake here. And I really fear that the industry hasn't had that opportunity to really convene in an earnest way to vet these critical provisions. You mentioned in the intro about small banks. This is a very important point. I'm so concerned about this segment of our market. I believe it's an aspect of the proposed rulemaking that's very often overlooked, but should be a great concern for your community banks. The proposed regs attempt to really revise the definition of a small bank. So if your listeners are part of the over 650 banks, per the call reports last year, across the nation with assets between $500 million to $1 billion in assets, the proposed CRA is about to create a significant increase to their cost of compliance. Now, that's a cost of compliance without ever going into the community, right, and doing the great work. This proposed reg eliminates the intermediate small bank size threshold and the limited purpose provision. That means that a bank with, let's say, $600 million in assets will now have to collect, maintain, and report data in the same way that the mega banks have to comply.
Wow.
Yeah, yes, you heard that right. The proposed regulation will really subject the community banks to the same CRA provisions as the large banks. Those with less than 500 in assets will have choices on how to comply, but they'll be subject to increased reporting either way. So the question to hone in on in the proposed rulemaking is question number 18 from the Federal Register. That's where they actually define how small business is delineated in the provision, and they ask, should it be raised to $1 billion? Now, my answer would be yes, and I feel it might be the same for this asset size group, right?
Right.
Not enough people are talking about this. I think it's a subtle shift with huge implications in my mind, thus my lack of sleep.
Right, right. And thus the importance of banks getting out there during this comment time and putting in their their thoughts on that, on that change, especially that change.
Yeah.
You know, once the CRA, you know, they get out of the comment period and, you know, things start to progress and all that, is there anything that banks should continue to do during that, once, because that comment period is right around the corner?
Well, I want to take a step back and talk about what we should do right now. I cannot emphasize enough that everyone must step up and they submit the comments. They can do that as an individual on behalf of their bank. I'd encourage their peers to do the same, and then to reach out to the industry groups that are also formulating their response to the comment period. That size threshold and definition recommendation may actually not be included in some of the regional industry groups' comment letters. But if it isn't, there's still time to redirect and to issue a second comment from the same entity. I'm already seeing that, because as things unfold and we get to know the proposed rules further and deeper, we're having multiple comments that refine the concept. So that there's absolutely no excuse right now to make sure that we are all collectively heard, because this is our chance. Now, to address your previous question about, okay, so while, you know, the political circles are swirling, what should we do now, right? I want to emphasize that again, reemphasize that regulatory change is imminent, but the core definitions of, and concepts of the CRA will remain relatively the same. Here are three things that I recommend that we all do immediately. One, I would actually scour the proposed regulation and determine how the proposed rules affect your institution. I would issue comments again as individuals or your institution or in partnerships with your community associations and industry experts. At the end of the proposed rulemaking, there's actually draft regulatory provisions. So you can actually get a really good sense of what that might look like. So again, number one, make sure you know what's within it and comment. Two, I would hone in and get very, very clear on that data collection, record keeping, and reporting provisions, and see how that differs from your current practice. Now, that depends on the size of your bank, but I was even surprised when working with one of my large bank clients how onerous the proposed rules will be for them. So that's number two, get very clear about those data collection and reporting provisions, because that's where your cost of compliance will increase dramatically. Three, I would also brief your board and executive management on the impacts and the risks associated with this proposed rulemaking. They will need to know what's going on, what the timeline is, even though that's a moving target, but they need to consider that there's certain strategies they might want to adjust. And for sure, the proposed reg as it's written now will necessitate the need for more FTEs and certainly system adjustments or new systems to be compliant. So it's something that I would brief executive management along the way.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, there's a lot of changes. And so there is no real date yet for when this might go in effect. Have you heard anything as far as any kind of timing after this comment period ends?
This is what I've heard. They have 60 to 75 days, I think, to at least respond after the comment period. That may or may not be correct, but I believe that's what I heard, and that they can, you know, they can take longer and things can iterate. So they could even issue new proposed rules to consider and issue out for comment. So could go on another year. Right. You know, who knows? And it seems like there might be some political pressure right now in terms of the timing. Mm-hmm. So I'll leave
sense.
That up to other people to right. opine on.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Well, this has been great, Linda. Before we sign off, where can banks learn more about CRA? And do you have any resources that you'll be able to share with folks?
Well, sure. My favorite conference is the CRA Interagency Conference that will be held this year. It's every other year in Denver, Colorado on March 9th through the 12th. And I've reviewed the detailed conference agenda, and it is packed with meaningful and relevant topics. And with all those regulatory representatives present, I know it's going to be very interesting around CRA reform. So I just can't wait for that. And of course, CRE Today. I'm working on consulting with my clients right now to shore up their baseline CRE programs and processes. And I'm also creating a master online course that will be released side by side with these final regulations. Again, I would say 80% of the CRA will remain the same, but the way in which they're going to process, collect and process data and evaluate and assess your neighborhoods will change. There is so much yet that we can go deeper into to strengthen our programs. So a master course will be released later this year, or perhaps even next year, who knows, right? It is a moving target. But in the meantime, I'm also working with my client per their specific pain points. And we're solving for how do you find a community development loan? How do you train your officers to identify community development opportunities and the like? So stay tuned for more webinars and specific training. And just remember, please, if you have anything that you really want to talk about or solve for, I love this work.
That's for sure. You could tell. And you have a podcast too, as well.
Well, I do. I'm getting started with it, but I feel like there's a chance to interview people in the community development space that are really innovating and changing the way we do community development. So some of my podcasts are longer and more in depth. And then I'm also launching a more regulatory or compliance-based within the same podcast, but a different track that's shorter and that's easier just to absorb over a coffee break or, you know, on the go. So it's really my mission to inspire bankers to see CRA, again, not as just a regulatory burden, but really a tool for community empowerment and profitable business opportunities. So there's so much more work to be done.
This has been really informative, Linda. Thank you so much. We'll make sure that we get links to CRA Today and more information where banks can go and do the comment on our episode's notes page. And don't forget that deadline. And Linda, thank you so much. And we'll see you again on the next episode of Elevate Thought.
Great. Thank you.
You have been listening to Elevate Talks, a weekly podcast created with the Elevate mission in mind, which is to educate, connect, and inspire bankers. For more information on Elevate, go to elevatebankers.com, where you can find show notes from this episode and learn all about our 2020 conferences specifically designed for banking leaders. And don't forget, the Elevate Bankers Conference will be held April 14th through the 17th in Las Vegas, Nevada. Visit elevatebankers.com and register today for this one-of-a-kind banking program designed for bankers in the areas of compliance, technology, finance, lending, marketing, and human resources. I'm your host, Michael DeLucchi, and I hope you subscribe to our podcast. And until next week, I will see you at the top.